Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Episode 341.
Well, real quick, let me just say that if you have not watched on Netflix Into the Fire, it's, I think, 3 episodes, and it's about a mother and a missing daughter and just all the things. And it has so many, like, oh, I see what's going on. No, you don't. Like, it's like, yeah, that comes and you're like, yeah, I kind of knew that. But then it like hits you with a 1-2 punch and you're like, holy fuck.
Yeah. Well, we're watching the show called Pieces of Her on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch it?
Yes.
Of course you did.
I told you this.
We have 3 episodes left. It's good. It's got Toni Collette in there. And, well, I can't really tell you much.
I thought her name was Toni Collette.
Oh, is it? I thought it was Colletti.
I don't know.
Toni Collette. Maybe it is Collette. Okay, bye. I'm just trying to zhuzh it up a little bit. Well, anyway, it's good. She's the mom, and then there's a daughter, and then some shit goes down, and then you find out some things, and it's just a shoo, shoo, shoo.
Family trauma.
I will say there were, like, the last episode, Colby was on his phone the whole time, and I kind of fast-forwarded through a little bit.
Yeah.
So there was, like, this would make a really good movie.
Yeah.
Versus, like, a series. It's a little dragged out, but it's good.
I would agree with that. Look at us being movie critics.
I mean, have you seen the new show Monsters that's on Netflix about your boys?
What? Oh, the Menendez brothers?
Uh-huh.
Why are they my boys?
I thought you really liked them.
No, I don't really know their story.
Oh, okay. I was thinking you were like, I think they're innocent, and you like really liked them.
Nope.
Oh, that's just Scott Peterson.
Well...
Also, I am almost to the most recent season of Emily in Paris. I've been watching TV lately, y'all.
Oh, my God. I thought you were on the most recent season. Oh.
No.
Okay.
My friend Christy is catching up with old episodes of our podcast, and she was like, you really have not seen any movies.
No.
And I was like, I know. She thought I hadn't seen Shawshank Redemption. I was like, no, girl, that's one of my favorites. She was like,
yeah.
Okay, it was another movie, because back in 2018, you had seen nothing. I was like, Shawshank I have seen. I love that movie.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite rainy day movies.
I will say, that's one of those movies that I will watch if I find it on TV or
yes.
anything, especially in a hotel or something. I'm like, oh, doesn't matter. But if it is on that one part, because if you've never watched it, I'm not giving it away, but it deals with Brooks.
Yes, can't.
I have to be like, I'll come back to it and yes. watch it after that. Like, I can't get to that. Like, oh, God, that part just breaks my heart. Well, also, Andy, if you're listening to this, she called me out last night because I got to play Phasmophobia for the first time. Well, I played it twice this week, but I haven't been playing it because I've been, you know, just going all the things. Well... And all the things is just to the gym and to sleep, okay? But she was like, didn't you say that you were going to start posting on Instagram and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Because she was like, how's the weight loss thing going and all? And I was like, yeah, it's pretty good. You know, like just kind of getting in my groove still and all of that. And I was like, you know what, Andy? I said that. And then I got sidetracked on just other shit. And
no, you just didn't want to.
Well, I want to. It's the...
But you don't want to.
But no, I really do want to. It's the lazy part of me that's like, I would just rather scroll TikTok mm-hmm. than to actually post my own stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like the want is there. The execution is not. But I promise I am going to start. Because also, I only have, like, a little bit of pictures of me, but I never have any, like, video besides our, like, Facebook Lives and stuff that we've done. Mm-hmm. But I don't have, like, a lot of full body video and stuff. So, like, if I do lose, or as I continue to lose, I guess, I want to be able to see the change.
Yeah. Well, you got to start taking videos.
I know. But you can't make fun of me, Carrie.
Are you going to be that person at the gym with your camera propped up?
No, 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 no. No one needs to see me at the gym, okay? Though I will say, the other day, my brother's been having tummy troubles. I'm going to call him out on that. So it's just been me and Sabrina Carpenter doing our thing. But I wore this, like, you've seen it. It's like yellow, but kind of like neon green. Kind of looks like a highlighter t-shirt. And, you know, I have my, like, purple headphones. And me and my gym crush, he was on the treadmills. He usually does it upstairs, so I only see him on the weights. But he was, like, looking this way. I was looking that way. And I was like, I think it's the bright colors that caught his eye. But he's probably like, why is she staring at me?
Right.
And I'm like, but every time I'm looking, you're looking. But it's because I've just been looking and right. haven't stopped. But, yeah. And then I had to get on my little seated elliptical in front of him, and I was like, no one needs to see this, because I was like sweating. I was
so is everybody at the gym. It's the gym, you're supposed to sweat.
Yeah, but my sweat is a lot of sweat.
So is everybody else's. Quit doing that to yourself.
Let me be down on myself, Carrie. Go.
No, the whole point of this is a journey.
Oh, I know. I am doing more weights, so like heavier weights. And the other day, I did not feel like going to the gym. I did it, I even passed up dinner with Tiffany to go to the gym. And I was like, I'm just going to do lighter weights and just kind of like power through. And then I was like, oh my God, like these are way too light. And I was like, this was heavy. Mm-hmm. This is what I started out at, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, no, like this isn't doing anything for me. Like I don't feel like I'm just like, no, you're wasting time. Like do a little bit more. So I was like, okay, that's growth.
Donna is just bebopping over here. She looks like a genie with how her ponytail is right now. And she is just beep-bopping her little head as she's telling y'all, and her ponytail is just going burp, 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 burp.
It's basically the Grinch thing.
No, nothing will beat that.
One thing I do want to address is that there was an anonymous poster in our Facebook group, and they were just, I mean, other people have said it, but like that they just felt like this was a safe space in the Facebook group to like vent, to just open up and stuff. And I don't know why, but that one like just got me so much. And I was like, I am so happy to be a part of this community. Mm-hmm. But I'm so happy to be a part of something that is a safe space for me, for Carrie, for y'all. And it's just like when I am scrolling Facebook, I go to our page and our Facebook group, and I don't know. I just feel so connected to y'all, and I'm so happy that I have a place to be myself and everything like that too. So if you have been on the fence about joining the Facebook group, it's free. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of amazing people in that group. Oh, and then there's Carrie.
You're not wrong.
Well, please update us on the new dog, because people got to see it in the Creepinati and they loved her. Is she walking on the ground? Is she still being carried with a pillow?
Okay, she was never actually carried on a pillow, but yeah, she's walking some. She doesn't like to sleep in our room anymore. So like if we make her walk down the hall, she'll come back to the living room by herself, but she won't just like walk down. Like it's like this, the back of the house doesn't exist at all.
Yeah.
And Jax keeps stealing her food. And I'm like, she's too skinny. Stop eating her food.
Jax is me.
Sometimes she kind of acts a little scared of Colby still, like, because he wakes up at the ass crack of dawn every morning. And so like sometimes she won't go outside for him, but she will when I get up and, you know, that kind of thing. But she's definitely warming up and playing and all of that, you know.
She's a cuddle bug.
Big time. She, like, as soon as you sit down, she's trying to get in your lap. Like, sometimes I'm like, bitch, give me a second. Like, I just need some space for a moment, please. But, yes, she, like, as soon as you sit down, she's like, okay, I gotta sit with you.
I wish Birdie was more of a cuddler. She has her moments where she wants to touch.
Yeah.
But she's not like, I wanna, like, Marley would just, like, get in my arms, you know, and, like, I'd hold her like a baby. Birdie's not that person because she likes to spread out. However, when I sit on the couch and she knows I got food.
Yeah, she's
that
there.
That girl is like right there like, And I am like, girl, can I enjoy this? I'm going to give you a bite in just a second.
I know. I've tried to kind of coax her by the table by like leaving a trail of food and she's into it. But she's, like, not that into it.
Yeah. If it had carpet along the way, she'd
She'd sit there. Like, she would sit by you. But, yeah, she's like, okay, but, like, that's a really good pork chop. Should I come a little closer? You know?
I mean, I'll come closer for a pork chop. Boneless, of course. You know what else I'd come close for?
This could literally go anywhere.
Miracle made sheets, girl.
Well, before we get into our story, like Donna said, we got to talk about Miracle Maid because y'all know how much we freaking love this bedding. I really want to look into the stuff other than the sheets. Why haven't we not done that yet? Well, probably back to your lazy thing we talked about earlier.
Yes.
Because literally same. But y'all, we both truly love these sheets. Like some of y'all have reached out to us and been like, hey, do y'all really like y'all's sheets? And we're like, yes.
1,000% yes.
We actually like these sheets. Like, we would not be raving about them so much if we didn't like them.
I got some Halloween sheets, and so I put them on my bed, and, like, instantly, I can tell a difference.
Yes.
It's just like, oh, God. Okay, well, maybe I don't have to be festive, because I just want my Miracle Made sheets back on my bed.
What makes Miracle Bedding so special is that they are thermoregulating and designed to keep you the perfect temperature all night long, literally no matter the weather. And as you know, if you're waking up hot or cold, it impacts your sleep because you're literally waking up. And poor sleep quality has such an impact on your day. You know, productivity, irritability, you know, all the abilities.
You know, again, I don't have the sheets on right now, and I tossed and turned last night, and it wasn't good sleep. I'm very tired today, and I had to have an extra cup of coffee. Another thing that Miracle Made Sheets does is self-cleaning, okay? Again, with the laziness over here, I don't want to have to clean the sheets all the time. And again, these sheets are infused with silver that prevent up to 99.7% of bacterial growth, leaving them to stay cleaner and fresher 3 times longer than the other sheets.
Well, and that's why they're temperature regulating, too, is because of the fact that they're silver infused. These are very smart sheets. So y'all got to get in on this because, I mean, I want to be smarter because my sheets are.
I want to be smarter, cleaner, and sleep better because of my sheets.
So right now, you can go to trymiracle.com/creep to get Miracle Made Sheets for 40% off. And if you use the promo code CREEP at checkout, you're going to get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%.
And it doesn't matter if you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one because it is about to be that time, y'all. These are great gifts. Go to trymiracle.com/creep.
If it's something for free, I'm going to be signing up. So head on over to trymiracle.com/creep and use the promo code CREEP to get 3 free towels and save money, like 40% and then an extra 20.
Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode. Okay, this story was recommended by Shalane D. from Texas.
Your Texas is broken.
It really is. It's bent, okay? Not completely broken. Picture it. Napanock, New York, 1845. This was the year that an inn was built by Thomas Rich. He, of course, wanted to have the best of the best in the area, and that's why he built the inn with all of the finest amenities, the furnishings, you know, like, what do all the makeup people say? Like, beat to the gods? Like, the furnishings were decked out, everything, like, luxury all the way. They would have had Miracle Made sheets up in this, okay?
I literally thought when you were going to say Thomas Rich, and of course, I thought you were going to say he's rich because he, like, built this.
Oh, no.
Missed an opportunity.
I'm sure I have some puns in here at some point. So it was really beautiful. It was charming and just like what you think of an inn built back in the day. It has 35 rooms and about 10 rooms for guests, which are mostly on the second and third floors. And like any awesome hotel or inn, there are rooms that have cool names. And the Shanley Hotel, which is what we're talking about today, has the Rose Room, the Blue Room, the Marguerite Room, and the Silent Room. And you know, the Marguerite Room, what does that remind me of?
I have no idea.
Ever After.
Oh, I definitely would not have known that.
What? Okay. She's the villain you love to hate. Okay. Anyway, this is something that Carrie's going to love, though. It has a long wraparound porch.
Oh, love that.
Yes. So it changed hands a few times, even burnt to the ground from a fire. But in 1906, it became under the ownership of James Lewis Shanley and became known as the Shanley Hotel. Now, this area was a vacation destination for those, you know, who lived in the city and just wanted to get out and, like, you know, I mean, think about like the Hamptons, but not as like fancy all the time. This made the inn very profitable, and a lot of the who's who stayed at this inn. So a little bit about James Shanley. He was born on Halloween.
Love that for him.
Right? In 1874, all the way across the pond in Ireland. He moved over here and actually stayed in the hotel while in the area. And he was like, ooh, I like this. I like the location, all the things. I'm going to make an offer, because he had been in real estate. He had dabbled, him and his brothers, and he ended up buying it and then again turning it into the Shanley Hotel. Also, when researching this, every time it would be like, do you mean the Stanley Hotel? And I'm like, no, bitch, I mean the Shanley Hotel.
That's funny.
So he made some additions, like a bowling alley, which, yes, I mean, look, I'm not great at bowling. I did get a strike when no one else did.
Did you see my head whip around when you said that bullshit right then? Not that you got a strike, because you did do that. But
when I said, yes, please.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't love bowling, but I'm very happy that I got a strike that time. I mean, I still lost by a lot. Because terrible. So that, a billiard room, and a barber shop. And those weren't the only games. They also hosted like card tournaments, domino tournaments, which my dad would have been all over those.
Yes, he would have.
My nanny would have been too, but she would have been not very happy. She was not a good loser.
No, she wasn't.
Also, she took score a lot. And I'm like, how did y'all come back and beat us? I don't know, but I think I do. And you were the scorekeeper. But let's not talk ill of the dead, right? Anyway, his soon-to-be wife, Beatrice, hosted elaborate high tea parties and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, again, it just seems so fancy.
Yeah.
Never been to a tea party. Have you?
I want to. Like, I feel like all my friends, like, take their daughters to these tea things now. And I'm like, oh, that had been so fun when I was a kid. Did they have them? Probably. Did we go? No.
I don't think, well, they might have had them somewhere. But, like, around here, it wasn't a thing.
No, I bet you would have to have, like, gone to New Orleans or something.
Yeah. But, I mean, we could do one now.
With the little finger sandwiches?
Oh, my God. Anything fingers is my favorite. That is not what I meant. But, you know, finger food really is my favorite, which is such a weird answer when people, like, on dating apps are like, what's your favorite food? And I'm like, finger food? Like, party food? Anything cut into a square? I'm there for. It's like, oh, you have a whole cake? No, cut it into little squares and make me little pedophores or whatever.
Yeah.
That's better. It doesn't make sense. What did make sense is that the town loved all of these additions because it gave them something to do. And it, again, was a place where everyone could gather. So it was famous people, wealthy people, and also, you know, some of the common folk. But some of the famous people was like Thomas Edison and Eleanor Roosevelt. Her husband too, but like they always said like Eleanor Roosevelt.
I wonder why.
I have no idea, but I was like, okay. Okay, queen, step off.
Donna has turned into a Gen Z. Jen Alpha this episode. Okay, that I've heard of. But whatever you said about the makeup people saying get back or get off or
beat
get your
to
face.
The guys.
Yeah, never heard that in my life.
What? Okay, I did not make that up. But also, ma'am, look, you might watch makeup artist stuff, but you didn't even know what an MUA was, okay?
You didn't either.
Yes, I did.
You didn't tell me that.
Literally, I told you that.
In my defense, though, I don't watch makeup artists.
You literally do.
But, like, not like that.
Y'all, this, you know how people say, like, hey, here's a Snickers, you're not you when you're hungry? That is Carrie right now, okay?
Is it?
Yes.
I'm kind of in a weird mood.
You don't have to tell me twice.
Me and my weird mood. I shouldn't have to say anything twice. Like, not specifically to you, but, like, that was my first thought because I guess I'm in a weird mood.
Yeah. She's combative. Damn.
Well, I'm learning from the best over here. Rude, or whatever you said to the guy in the gym that time.
That you remember? Okay. So sorry about that tangent. But in 1910, James did marry Beatrice, and they went on their honeymoon, all the things. But guess what happened when they got back in town?
She was pregnant.
Not yet. But the town threw them a fucking parade.
What? Okay. Did they go off to war? Who does that?
Right? But, like, that's how much they were loved by the town.
I don't love anybody enough that much. Like, I just
do
don't
love a parade, though. You love Santa Claus enough.
Yeah, but, like, I just don't under that's true. But do I go to the Christmas parades? No.
I will say that we were in the Christmas parade. Were you there?
No, I was living in Houston.
Okay. We were in there for my sister's store and stuff, and that really was the most fun. Me and Tiffany were having a ball. But also now I'm at the age where it's like, at the parades, it's like, give it to the kids. And I'm like, no, I want to keep it. And then, like, you know, throw it away because I don't like to have stuff. But it's just fun to get it.
Yeah.
Now is where she's pregnant because they decided to start a family, really put down roots here because it's not just about a profitable business or anything like that. Like, these people are their community. This is their home. But unfortunately, they dealt with a lot of tragedy. On January 6, 1912, Beatrice gave birth to their first daughter, Kathleen, but sadly, she only lived for 6 months. Then the second child was James Shanley Jr., who made it 4 months.
Oh, my God.
And then the third child, William Shanley, he passed away at 9 months. So that means that all three children died before they were one. And, it, you know, that was a lot to deal with. And now, this might seem out of left field, but it does relate. Oh, here's a thing, play on words, because I'm talking about Beatrice's sister. So relate, relations, sister. Okay.
Donna.
Yeah?
When did the joke become a dad joke?
Oh, when it got pregnant.
No, when it's a parent.
Ah, damn.
When it got pregnant? How does the joke get pregnant? That didn't make any damn sense.
Well, I was just thinking because it's a dad, like he had to have a child.
So he got pregnant?
I don't know. Well, you say like they're expecting a baby.
Well, I'm just saying that was almost as bad as my listening mouse.
Damn it. I really hate that I fucked it up. I would have just thought, I'd said it too knee-jerk.
Yeah, you should have given yourself a minute to think, because you really do usually know those things.
So Beatrice's sister, her name was Esther, and they were extremely close. And Esther and her hubby, John, even moved into the adjoining apartment in the hotel with Beatrice and James. This is why I like had to bring that up, because unfortunately tragedy struck again and Esther became sick with the like whole influenza epidemic and she passed away in 1918. Now, it didn't say anything about her hubby John passing away, but for whatever reason, Beatrice and James took Esther's two daughters and they raised them as their own. Now, the Shanley family wasn't the only one to experience tragedy at the hotel. Like I mentioned, he built a barber shop in the hotel, and the barber who stayed there, his name was Peter, and he had a 3-year-old daughter named Rosie. And again, they lived in the hotel as well. Now, one day, Rosie was playing at the Hornbeak Farm, which was across the road. And she accidentally fell into a well when she lifted the wood cover on the well. You know, just being Dora the Explorer. And she lost her balance and she hit her head, which resulted in her drowning.
Oh my God.
They didn't find her body until 2 hours later. Now, Peter just tried and tried and tried, but he could not keep working and living there where Rosie had died. So he left, moved to Brooklyn, and, well, their apartment ended up becoming like a speakeasy during Prohibition. And also was used as a bordello, which is just like a brothel, but everyone here called it a bordello, and I'm like, okay.
Did you know that my mom was born in a hotel?
Did not know that.
Yeah, my grandpa owned it.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. I know the one you're talking about now. Now, speaking of Prohibition, James Shanley, everyone said, great man. You know, just salt of the earth, all the things. But you know, business is business. And they did have ties to, like, the Irish mob. Mm. thank you. So it seems like James naturally went into bootlegging and stuff during Prohibition. There was a secret basement room that James and John, his partner, not the same John that was married to Esther, again, unsure of if he died or not, but he was just like, here's my kids if he didn't. I don't know.
I feel like that doesn't really surprise me if he lived that that happened.
True. They use that secret basement room to, like, make and sell and store their bootleg liquor. Also reminds me of the movie Life. Do you like that movie? Me and Tiffany love it.
Yeah, not as much as y'all, but yes.
And also, like, when I say secret room, I'm not just like, oh, it's hidden in the back. Like, no one would know if it wasn't there. No, like, it was only accessible by a trap door in the hall closet. So even if you knew, like, oh, they're doing something down there, you're not going to be able to find where to go in.
Right.
There were also several secret corridors and stuff, especially going into the bordello, because, you know, rich men like to hide their shiz.
Rich men like to hide everything. Money, affairs, tax money.
Also, I'm really craving chocolate because I said Snickers to you, and bordello reminds me of Caramello, and I'm like, oh, those were so good.
Yeah, whenever people would be selling the candy at school for like $1.50 or whatever, I never got those. You always got them. I never got them because it was only like 4 pieces.
I know.
So I would get something else because I was like, I can get more bang for my buck, aka more chocolate, because, you know.
I mean, I usually got 2 bars. So like that one and something else, because that's why I'm on a health journey today, folks. Okay, so they're bebopping along, doing their bootlegging stuff, doing their all the things. But the police hear about their side business, and they raided the hotel in 1932. But again, they had friends in high places, you know, like the Roosevelts and everything. And even though they got arrested, they were not charged and never did time.
I just don't understand how Prohibition was a thing. Like, well, again, I never thought Roe v. Wade would be overturned, so.
True.
But, like, just if you don't want to drink, don't drink. Like, don't make it illegal for other people to do it and take away people's businesses and profits. And, you know, like, this is people's livelihood you're literally taking away.
And then you're making stuff dangerous, though, because then you are, like, going to meet some rando person to get some bootlegged liquor from, like, a, you know what I mean? Like, a sketchy corner that no one knows about and all the things.
I know, I always said that about, like, the town that Tiffany lives in is, well, it was a dry county for a long time, and they just started selling beer and wine. But I'm like, you're literally encouraging drinking and driving, because now they have to go somewhere else and then come back, you know?
Yeah. Now, there was one final tragedy for the Shanley family. James Shanley had a heart attack on August 26, 1937, and he did pass away. Now, Beatrice kept the hotel until 1944, and she finally sold it to Al Hazen, and she moved back to New York City to be with her family. She passed away in 1961, but like old age kind of thing. Now, again, it did pass through a few more hands. It stayed empty for a bit too, But ultimately, in 2005, Salvatore Nicoza, who went by Sal, he bought the hotel and refurbished everything back to its former glory and opened it 2 years later in 2007. And shortly after the refurb and the grand opening, Sal and his friend Doug Hart, they were celebrating one night because Doug was a historian and he's the one who really helped Sal bring it back to the original stuff. But they heard footsteps in the main stairway and they were like, oh shit, I bet someone is thinking that we've broken in or something because it was late at night. And they're like, oh my God, well, someone's being a nice person and coming to investigate because they think we broke in. But they couldn't find anyone anywhere. And they're like, wait, we heard footsteps. Like, it wasn't just like a creak or anything like that. This was footsteps. And this was really the first time that anyone reported anything paranormal going on in the hotel. But over the years, the hotel is thought to have had or have at least 15 to 30 different spirits who call the hotel home.
Good Lord.
Right. Also, I think because they did refurbish it back to the original part is why it got like stirred up. Because you know what I mean? Like all those stories I cover is like you renovated and it's like.
It like brings it all to life. Yeah.
And especially if you're bringing it back to the original thing, then like these spirits could feel at home and stuff. So Sal and Doug ended up doing a little mini investigation a few times, taking photos, doing some EVP work, just to see if they were losing their marbles or if someone or something else was at the hotel. Through all their investigations, it seemed like several spirits were there, just like I mentioned, at least 15. And lots of full-body apparitions were seen by Sal. Now, there's a lot of general activity that could be residual, probably residual. So there's doors that open and close by themselves, phantom footsteps, just like Sal and Doug heard. Those are heard up and down the stairs and in the hallways, too. People have heard multiple children laughing. And, you know, that's what we always say. Children laughing, cutest sound in the whole world. But when you can't see those kids, when it's dark and you're alone and there's kids laughing, no thank you.
Right. When those kids aren't supposed to be there. Ooh.
Yeah. Because I will say Carrie's niece, she has the cutest laugh and I love when she gets tickled and stuff like that. But if I heard that in a dark hallway, wouldn't like it. Would have the opposite effect. Something else that's a pretty common occurrence there is people hearing disembodied voices in the bar area, and they also hear piano music as well. There's also a lot of phantom smells, and all I can imagine when I say phantom smells is Disney World's Main Street with the smell of the bakery being like pumped out into Main Street, you know, because I always thought that was like the smell of it, but like they manufacture that smell. Like, it smells good, and it's good inside, but it's like, I was just like, holy shit. Like, this is what I feel like Beauty and the Beast smells like when she's going through saying good morning and all. But it's like, oh, because Disney's a genius, and they pump out that smell. So, you know, people like me are like, oh, let me go get that croissant. Anyway, but when I say phantom smells, that's just all I can think about. But these smells range from perfume to cooking, and it said good cooking too, but then to cigar smoke and pipe tobacco, which not my cup of tea, unless it's tobacco with vanilla, because that kind of candle, love, call it like my boyfriend candle because it's like manly, but sultry at the same time. There's a cigar bar downtown, and I was like waiting on a train because also if you know anything about our downtown area, you're going to get stopped by a train. And I was going to get my tag or whatever, the sticker thing for it. And I stopped and I took a picture while I was waiting for the train. And I said, I wonder what it smells like in there. And Carrie said, cigars. And I was like, well, yes, but I just like, I want to know if they have, like, ventilation
stuff. Yes, they absolutely do.
Like, all the things. But she was like, cigars? I'm like, oh, my God, you smart ass.
Meanwhile, I laughed because I thought Tiffany said that.
Oh, my God. But this girl will argue me down over shit. Now, some of the activity is physical. When people enter the bordello area, they sometimes get lightheaded or they're overcome with sadness. And men in general will feel kind of aroused and stuff, which makes sense because, you know. But also, that could just be someone who's thinking like, oh, this is where this used to be. And like,
right.
Think about it that way, too. Any hoozy.
Who says any hoozy?
I have no idea.
I mean, I say any hoozits, which is no better.
But she judges me. But around the hotel, guests have had something or someone tug on their jewelry, pinch their booties, which, you know.
You're into.
Yeah, definitely. Some guests have even said that they felt like they were being held down in their beds by unseen hands, which, again, I'm not mad at. But some have been hit on the side of their heads. And, like, have gotten headaches from it, really feel it on their temples and everything, like, pressure. And even though some guests didn't feel anything like that, they would still feel dizzy and very off balance. Like, they were on display and just being watched the entire time. So now let's talk about some of the afterlife guests that have stuck around. Remember the barber's daughter, Rosie, who passed away? Mm-hmm. She has been captured laughing and whispering, and her bedroom was on the second floor, which is where she's normally found, and she will play with toys. Now, there's another kid, a 6-year-old boy, who lived next door to the hotel, and he was hit by his father's car while he was backing out of the alley between their house and the hotel. His name was Walter Thayer Jr., and this was in 1915. Now, he's been seen on the third floor. He also really loves to play with toys and has even thrown the ball back and forth with one of the paranormal groups.
Athlete.
However, after I looked more into this, it seems as though they thought this was the same boy. Like, that did happen. But after they did some EVPs and, like, asking him about himself, they learned that the spirit's name was Jonathan. So it's like, wait, who is this kid then? And where did he come from? Or as you say, is he really a kid?
Right.
But nothing here seems dangerous. Like, all the paranormal shows and stuff have been there and they're all like, you know, this is haunted, but it's not threatening. Unless that demon is presenting as Jonathan as a kid and it's playing the long game.
Right.
I think it's safe to say it is Jonathan.
Like a very long game.
Right. Which it could be, because I would be petty enough to do that. One more ghost kid is Helen. She was 9 years old and a local preacher's daughter. And she was lured into a nearby swamp and murdered by this man, Alfred Volcom, who was then later executed in prison. She is said to haunt Esther's old room, the sister. And also they say Alfred has been seen in the halls of this hotel as well. Helen also communicated one time through EVPs that she wanted a pink dress. And so the new owner had hung up one for her in that room, and it's still there to this day.
Oh, that's sweet.
It is sweet. But like, also, if you think about it, it's like, it's just wild that it was just close and nearby and this happened, you know? But at the same time, if this was a place where the community really came together and stuff, like, it could have been, like, that's what she was, you know, she used to go and watch her dad bowl or something. Who knows? But also just being nearby. And if it is, like, a highway for ghosts to come through and all the things, then she would be attracted to it. Now, Esther has also been seen on the second floor in her old room and the sunroom that is next to that room. Esther's husband, John, is also thought to haunt the hotel, which is kind of sweet that they're in the afterlife together, like just chilling in the hotel and stuff.
Have you seen those TikToks that it's like, who would you hang out with when your husband dies? And it's like the wife is like Weekend at Bernie's, their husband,
oh,
like on the
hilarious.
Couch and stuff. And I'm like, feel that.
I was going to be like, Yeah, that is you.
Yes, 1,000%. I'm crazy.
But he also seems to be one spirit that follows women around the hotel, but not in a creepy way, like in a helpful way. Like he's trying to take care of them. And a lot of people say it's because when James died, he kind of took over the hotel and became, you know, like the, not the general contractor. What's the word? Like, all I can think is super, but you
I
know.
Say like overseer, yeah, like kind of thing.
Yeah. Words are hard, y'all. Now, Beatrice, her spirit's also there. She's the one who is often smelled first and then seen. And she has a very floral fragrance about her. Some guests have also recalled that they see her crying too, which they attribute to her lost kids and her husband. You know, she had a lot of losses. I literally wrote this. Oh my gosh. I said, it's her hotel to haunt. She can cry if she wants to.
Oh my God.
I literally said that. Okay. So along with Beatrice is James, her hubby, and he's been usually spotted walking down the halls and he'll whistle. Like he's just like happy doing his work, checking on all the things. Another ghost is John Powers, that bootlegger partner of his. And he's seen in the basement, you know, where they used to do all their dirty deeds. Another worker from the hotel is a man named Frank. He worked as a bodyguard at the bordello and he died via gunshot. He even answered this on an EVP once. And then also when the current owner was talking about this time that Frank choked her twice, Frank replied on EVP, "You liked it." So, oh, Frank.
Frank was like, "I see you."
Another ghost is from a man believed to be named Vincent who haunts the bathroom of the Blue Room. He is thought to have died by suicide there after the 1929 market crash, where he lost everything. Something that would make Carrie super uncomfortable is that there are two spirits thought to be a couple who were on their honeymoon in the Blue Room, and they have been seen and heard, and not just talking, but having sex too.
Oh,
yeah.
People having sex makes me so uncomfortable. I don't know why. It makes me so uncomfortable. Like, I can watch it in a movie. It's not my fave.
Like, yeah.
But hearing, like, actual people having sex is literally the most uncomfortable thing on the planet.
And I'm just a voyeur, so.
Oh, no.
These two, the sexual couple, the honeymooners, they are not permanent guests. They kind of come and go. Pun intended. But like even just Alfred, the murderer, he doesn't stay there a lot, but like he comes and he goes and stuff like that. So it's very.
A hotel.
Yeah, it's very much like a revolving door of spirit activity. Now, remember when I mentioned the piano sounds and then you could smell the food being cooked? The piano is thought to be played by Oscar, who was a man who lived at the Shanley Hotel in the late 50s. And the food smells are attributed to Emma, who was the cook. She's been seen in the kitchen and always trying to help people. There's another female entity there, Caroline, who is said to be very beautiful and from the Victorian era. If you're going to be a ghost, like, be from the Victorian era. Like,
right.
You're just fancy. You're just a ghost. Like, that's what people think about, you know? She had long blonde hair. She wears a formal gown. And she's been seen floating down the stairs and the halls. And she's also been photographed while she was looking out the third floor window. Now, we know that the bordello probably had a lot of negative energy because men were involved. Just kidding. But we do know that some women, you know, were probably there against their will. And even if they were there willingly, they probably had some clientele who made them do things. You know, we've heard the stories, right? So there's lots of different people who haunt that area. One is known as Claire, and she's the most well-known of the bordello area ghosts. She stays on the third floor, and sometimes very loud screams are heard coming from the third floor, and they attribute that to Claire because she died by suicide by hanging herself. But over the years, people started kind of looking into it, and they believe that she could have been killed and just placed there, or like they hung her And they said, like, either, like, a jealous boyfriend, a husband, a mobster, because they had the loose ties to the whole thing, or just a customer. Another female who resides in the Bordello area is called Maddie. She's often heard, not seen, and everyone said that she's really funny and witty. And I'm like, that's who I want to be as a ghost. Like, I can't be from the Victorian era. Let's just be real, like... She probably had a corset on and all of that thing. I can't be doing that.
Yeah, but you heard not seen. Well, you could probably live with that. You just like to be heard. You probably could live with that.
Yeah, and they say funny and witty. Like, those are charming qualities.
Not that you possess, but they are.
I don't know what that honk was.
You know what? I don't know. It was giving me the seagull from Little Mermaid.
Yes. So the Shanley Hotel, speaking about, well, that's a bird, but speaking about animals, the Shanley Hotel isn't just haunted by people. There's also a ghost cat.
I was going to say, if you say there's a ghost bird, there ain't no way.
God, what is this honk? Okay. The ghost cat's name is Sweet Thing.
All I thought was, you just want that ghost to honk honk your butt. Oh, I'm out this way.
That's the name of your book. Why am I this way?
Like, you're not, like, that is so true.
So, Sweet Thing died of natural causes, so we don't have to worry about any sinister things happen to Sweet Thing.
That sounds like something a man would call a sex worker.
Ew, God, ew.
It does it not, though?
Yeah, you're
like,
right.
I hate that
you're right.
name.
Yeah. It was sweet, and then you had to go ruin it.
I'm just telling you what it sounds like.
Yeah, but this ghost cat, Sweet Thing, can be heard meowing. It can also be felt rubbing up against your leg, and it's jumped on people's beds in the middle of the night. Now, it's been investigated by a bunch of groups, and even the original ghost hunters, they saw a lot of shadows. Caught an EVP saying, who's that guy?
No.
You know what movie that's from?
No.
It's from Grease 2.
Okay, I thought Grease, but now I remember that specifically. But no, were they really saying that about Zach Bagans? Like,
No, okay. This is Ghost Hunters.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, oh, God, let's stoke that ego some more. God. Stoke it, whatever.
Whichever, don't want to do it to him anymore. Bedazzled Boo, I would have done it too. But... No, but it was in this room that Adam, one of them, were sleeping in. And it's like, that would be me and you as a ghost. Like, who's this guy? Like, this motherfucker, like,
yeah,
messing up our bed that we did. I don't know. It would just be me. I'm judgy, okay? Also, I'd be like, who's this guy? Oh, he's new. Okay.
Does he have a ring on? Doesn't matter. I'm a ghost.
Oh, so I'm a floozy when I'm a ghost. Okay.
You're a floozy when you're not a ghost.
Okay. True. But yeah, seriously, like Ghost Lab was there. There was a story on my ghost story. It was season 5, but I could not freaking find that anywhere. So I couldn't do that ghost story because I couldn't find it. And then also the Tennessee Wraith Chasers, they were there too. But all of them, like I said, yeah, there's spirits here, but they're not sinister. There's nothing to be worried about. Like, the most you're going to have is, you know, the hitting against the head. But it's not like it's like, bam. It's more just like you feel it in your temple, like mm-hmm. a headache. Also, it's just like, okay, Sweet Thing is going to jump up on the bed. Like, that might be the most startled you are. Or you're like, was that a shadow? You know, who knows? But it's not like... They're like looming around the corner, like trying to trick you and all of that.
Meanwhile, everybody that listens to this podcast that has a cat named Sweet Thing hates me right now.
Oh my God. Why am I this way? Because I was going to say, Colby can make that Sweet Thing purr.
That's disgusting.
Oh God.
Correct, but disgusting.
But that is the Shanley Hotel. And all of its ghosts. Like, that was a lot of freaking ghosts.
That is a lot of ghosts. Funny that it kept asking you, did you mean Stanley?
Oh, my God. Made me so mad. And because also it made me second guess, you know, because I'm like, yeah. Wait.
Do I?
Did I fuck this up?
Did I pull a Carrie? Do you think that it's real?
think so, because it seems like a lot of residual energy.
But I don't guess like a loop, though, because they keep going away and coming back. Or would that make it a loop?
I mean, I guess it, like, again, it could just kind of fade in and fade out. I don't know. I'm not an expert here. I don't even play one on the podcast. Also, because it's in New York, all I think about is a ghost, like, being like, hey,
I'm walking here.
Yeah, but like, hey, I'm haunting here. Like, I don't know. Everyone from New York's like, we don't say that.
Like, way to stereotype us.
Well, that's what I see in the movies, okay?
Well, my story is a recommendation as well, and it comes from Haley G in the Facebook group. So for this story, we're going to Greenup, Kentucky. We're talking about Madeline Danielle Conley, who goes by Maddie. So that's what we're going to call her the rest of the time. I do just want to preface with this is a pretty short story because there is not a lot on this, but it's a pretty frustrating story to say the least. And so I feel like it's something that needs to be talked about. So even though there's not a lot of detail, I think it's an important story to share. So Maddie was born July 7th, 1996. Her dad is Matthew. Her mom's Elizabeth. At the time that this story takes place in 2015, Maddie was 19. She was working two jobs at a place called Checkers Tanning and Kohl's. She was a freshman in college working towards being a nurse. And she had a baby daughter that was 19 months old.
She was 19 and had a 19-month-old.
And, like, doing all the things. Like, going to school, working two jobs, and had a toddler.
Yeah, fucking hard work.
Yes.
Sorry, I am not saying anything about her age. And I'm just saying, like, 19 and 19.
Yeah, yeah, that they matched. Yeah, you're not being like, is she 19? No, you're just saying they matched.
Yeah, I'm just weird about matching numbers. I'm like,
yeah, you know nothing about numbers, but you want them to match.
It's easy to remember. Though I literally had to say, huh, how old is 19 months? Like, and I had to say, like, okay, 12 months is a year.
Well, and I used to be like, after a year, why do you say the months? I do think after 2 years old, you don't say the months. But I do understand why people say the months until 2 years old. Because a 12-month-old and a 19-month-old are very, very different babies, you know? So I get that. I think after 2 years, you don't say it. And even that, I would have said, just shy of 2 years old. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's almost two. That's probably how I would have, like, if somebody's like, how old is she?
Yeah. I've never heard someone be like, this is a 48-month-old
baby. Oh, yes. People do that. Yes.
I'd be like, if I had to do a math problem, I don't want to know your kid's age, okay? Does it wipe itself? No? Okay. Mm-mm. You remember that from Big Daddy?
Yes, I do. In high school, Maddie was a varsity cheerleader and played softball. And she loved her baby, Macy, and, like, was really, by all accounts, a good mom and just good a person all around. And that's really the only background I have on this story and how we jump to September 8th of 2015. So Maddie's body was found in a rural area of Kentucky along, I think it was like Highway 784. And they later found that she had died from a skull fracture. But her body was found like a day or two after her murder. But I never saw anything about they were out doing like searching for missing persons or anything like that. But what happened? Maddie had been out riding four-wheelers with a guy named James Wyatt Ratliff. And it seems like he went by Wyatt. And a lot of stuff says ATV, some stuff says four-wheeler. I don't really know if there's a difference. I mean, I know that there's like buggies and all of that, but I think it was a four-wheeler. But she's out riding with Wyatt when Wyatt's girlfriend, Kelly Dummett, sees them.
What?
But here's the thing. According to Maddie's obituary, she had a boyfriend, and her boyfriend was Macy's dad. So nothing I saw explained, like, why she was with Wyatt. Were she and Wyatt in a relationship? I don't think so, because she had a boyfriend. But it really never said. Like, I don't know if they were, like, just really good friends. Because, see, she was 19, Wyatt was 20, but Wyatt's girlfriend was 17.
Oh, Lord.
So Wyatt's girlfriend, Kelly, gets pissed when she sees them together riding the ATV. So she speeds up and starts chasing them. And from there, we don't really know what happened because police quickly pull Kelly and Wyatt in for questioning because it seems like there may have been some witnesses. Again, y'all, I know I'm like, this may have happened. This may or may not have happened because, again, there is not a lot of information about this story. But I watched a YouTube video from a YouTuber named Emily Campbell, and she's the only place I saw or heard mentioned of witnesses that saw things. But it's kind of, it seems like Kelly like bumped the ATV and she fell off. Well, police bring Kelly and Wyatt in for questioning. Kelly and Wyatt say, oh yeah, she fell off and hit her head. Like that's all that happened. And police are like, no, it didn't. Like, she didn't just fall off and hit her head, because why didn't y'all just immediately stop and call police? No, you did something to her because you then moved her body, because her body wasn't found where the accident happened.
Oh, fuck.
And they did like a reconstruction of the crime scene, and they were like, no, like how she fractured her skull was not from her jumping off of a moving ATV. It was something more sinister. The more digging police do, they find out that essentially while Kelly, like as soon as she saw her and was like revving up her engine to go, you know, chase them, she had like text friends that she was going to kill her.
Oh my God.
And then police have evidence that text messages on Kelly's phone, Wyatt's phone, and Maddie's phone had all been deleted. So, like, there was a little bit of a cover-up. Like, it wasn't just, okay, she fell off, hit her head. We panicked even. And, like, there was a lot of cover-up.
Yeah.
So, this was going to go to trial. And there was, of course, like, all these appeals because this was big news that they weren't going to get a fair trial because everybody knew the case, blah, blah, blah. Well, Wyatt ended up taking a deal. He got a, what they call, like, a pre-trial diversion. And what this did was it gave him a 7-year sentence for like tampering with evidence, all of his part, because they were like, Kelly's really the one that did this. Like, yes, he was on the four-wheeler with her. Yes, he helped like cover things up, move her body, all the things. But Kelly's the one that did this.
Yeah.
So they were like, let's give him this, what's called a pretrial diversion, so that like he doesn't have to actually go to prison. He gets 7 years and essentially kind of like on parole, like as long as he doesn't do drugs, alcohol, possess firearms, violate any crimes, you know, just literally exist and not break any laws, then he won't have to go to prison. But he has to testify against Kelly. So Wyatt's like, yep, sign me up. So Kelly gets charged with like reckless homicide and, you know, doing all the things to the evidence. She decides to not take this to trial either and pleads guilty as well. This was like a long process because this happened in like 2017, you know, so this was like a long process of getting to this point.
Yeah.
But guess what she gets?
Oh my God. What?
The exact same thing as Wyatt.
What?
Yep. She gets 7 years in this same pretrial diversion thing. Well, first they charged her as a minor and then everybody was like, fuck that. She killed her. And so like, okay, we'll charge her as an adult. And then they did this. And the family, it's, you know, some of the articles I saw was like, almost not felt duped because like the prosecution explained it to them, but it was like, it's almost like they said they didn't really understand it.
Yeah.
And now they're like, this is so fucked up.
Like, has to do no time. And the thing is that it wasn't an accident with those texts and stuff. That shows, even if it was all talk, it shows that you had ill intent going there.
This wasn't just reckless where y'all were just like goofing off and you were chasing the four-wheeler ATV, whatever the fuck it was, and you shouldn't have been so close or whatever. Right. Like, and where you were just being a reckless teen and it's like reckless homicide, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe I'm thinking reckless homicide in my head is actually probably more manslaughter, like how I just described it. And so maybe reckless homicide does encompass what she did, but to get 7 years
probation, basically.
Essentially. Now, if she doesn't do what she's supposed to do, she goes to prison. But here's the thing, too. After the 7 years, their records are expunged.
That is so fucked.
Can you imagine?
No. You mean to tell me that there are people in jail for selling weed, but people who hid a murder, even if it was reckless and not super intentional or not, murdered someone, hid it, like they don't even see jail time. Yeah. It's just, hey, don't do anything because we're going to test you.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing, too. Not only don't do anything, we're going to make sure you're following all the laws, you're not drinking, you're not doing all the things. Not only that, then we're going to completely expunge your record when it's done.
Right.
So you can just go and live in your life like this never happened.
Yeah. And don't have to put that on a job application.
No. And Maddie's parents have to live with it every day for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
And her
child.
They
can't fucking live with her.
Yeah.
Are you? Oh my God, are you kidding me? You said it was frustrating.
There's more.
Oh my God.
The very next day, Kelly breaks it.
Oh my God. Well, I hope she goes into prison.
So,
jail, whatever.
So she literally, the next day, now I heard on, there's a lot of articles about her breaking it, but on the YouTube I told you about with Emily Campbell, she said it was the very next day. And then I watched a TikTok. Like, if you just search, like, Justice for Maddie, there's a TikTok true crime, almost said podcaster, but TikToker named Making a True Crimer.
He has YouTube, too.
But on both of those, they said it was the very next day that she, like, basically left the probation office and like, went and bought alcohol for, like, a party and stuff.
That just shows you right there, like...
Literally no remorse. She literally could not give zero fucks.
Wow.
So she breaks the parole, is just the easiest way to say it. She breaks that, and they give her 90 days in jail. However, even the judge in that sentence, like in that moment, was like, I wish I could give you more, but the law mandates that I give you a second chance.
Oh, my God. Well, y'all gave her a second chance, and she fucked it up the day after.
Yeah, this is really a third chance, no?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like first chance is just existing without breaking a law. Second chance is the whole deal that she got and not life in prison. So this is really a third.
Yeah.
But she goes on to break this 5 times.
Are you fucking kidding me? Okay, wait. So they're going to say, you're going to go to jail if you break this, but what they really mean is you're going to have to stay a few days in jail if you break this multiple times.
Well, to be fair, the second time she did it, I think she was sentenced to the full 7 years, but she only served 2. But I'm talking a DUI.
What? Another reckless thing.
Yes. Also, and with a vehicle, but also just like buying alcohol and drinking and going to parties, crossing state lines when she's not supposed to without permission, like all these things. And then there were times where she would have bench warrants out for her arrest and like not turn herself in. And it would be this long drawn out process. This is happening over years that she's doing this and getting caught or not getting caught, them issuing a warrant. And then it being like I said, one time was like 2 years before she had to face the music for her violation.
Wow. Now, after all of this, does her record get expunged from her having to go to jail from like breaking this?
I don't know, because even one of the times, like the last time that it happened, she was literally like a month away from it all being over.
Oh,
like,
my God.
It being record expunged, all the things, when she got for like another DUI and reckless driving event.
Oh my God.
So I don't think her record is going to be expunged because some of this is still ongoing. But by all accounts, like there's nothing on Wyatt. Like I think that he really did like, okay, cool. Like, thank you for my second chance. Like I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And he never got in trouble again from everything I can find. Or not fine, because again, there's just not a lot on this case. But it seems like Wyatt really got his shit together and did what he was supposed to do. But you can tell just like the judges are just fucking over her. And like one time when for this last one I'm about to tell you about, you know, she came into court and she's like got her arms folded and all of that. And they're like, unfold your arms. You know, you need to stop with the attitude. Like, this is your own doings. Quit acting like we're inconveniencing you for being here. Like, wow. You did this. Quit acting like a brat, you know?
Yeah.
This most recent incident, which is exactly how I picture what happening to Maddie happening. So police get called to this property in St. Paul, like right around, I think, like, you know, where all this took place. When the sheriff's deputy gets there, they see Kelly Dummett being like restrained by this guy, like citizen's arrest kind of thing, you know, the Barney Fife of it all. And they're like, what the fuck is going on? So apparently Kelly had trespassed onto these people's property. They saw her car like pull in with its taillights off.
How do people have their taillights off?
Not their taillights, her headlights. Okay. Did I say taillights? Yeah. You know what? Don't make me say words correctly, okay?
Maybe you didn't, but I really think so. Because I was like, oh, okay, like the lights are off. But then I was like, wait, how do you not have that?
So they see this car pull up with no headlights and they're like, who the fuck is this? Like, let me go look. So again, rural area, but it's a husband and wife on their like ATV going to check this out. When they get up to the car, they're like, who the fuck is this? So they followed her and they're almost like, you know how a dog herds? They're almost like trying to herd her back through the gate where she came.
Yeah.
And
sorry, all I can think about is get on, get. Get. I can't do it.
So once they got her, like, going away from the property, you know what she did? She turned back around and used her vehicle to ram their ATV, and it kicked, like, it knocked the wife off.
Oh, my God.
Then she got out of her car and started assaulting the wife.
You're on their property.
Right. And so that's why he like held her down until the police got there. So allegedly to all of that, because this is kind of still ongoing. Like I never saw where she has gotten like sentenced to this, but that's if she's found guilty, because allegedly, but that's exactly what I envision when I first heard this story mm-hmm. of what happened to Maddie. And you know, like the fact that she has had these same patterns of behavior that involve recklessness with a vehicle and all of that, like it's just beyond.
Right.
And she's just so like, I don't give a fuck and argumentative. And like, even in court, when they were like doing the DUI stuff and they're listing out all these things and that she did, like driving without a seatbelt, blah, 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 and that they said that she didn't have insurance. She's like, yes, I do. Like literally interrupted court and was like, yes, I do. I have insurance. I had to have insurance to get my car out of impound. And I'm like, you're not saying what you think you're saying. Like, yes, you're saying you're proving that you have insurance, but like, you're just reiterating the fact that your car was impounded, you know, like you're not helping yourself, ma'am. And also don't interrupt the judge.
Oh my gosh.
But you know, the sad part is too, that there was a post made on social media by Maddie's dad that actually ended up getting him arrested because
what?
The family was just so upset with the goings on with what they got to begin with in prison or lack of prison. And then the number of run-ins, you know, because there was time where, you know, she got the 90 days and then one time she got like 400 days. And then one time they were like, okay, go back for the whole 7 years, and then she only spent like 2 years in. So, you know, it's just all this like over and over and over again with her. And the family just got to the point, especially Maddie's dad, where he's like, I can't, this is so fucked up. Like, this is not justice. And he made a threat, which you don't do, on one of the judges.
What?
Yes. And so they arrested him, and he actually got arrested like on the same day as Kelly Dummett for like one of her other things, like
oh
different
God.
Counties, but they were arrested on the exact same day.
Not saying you should threaten someone, but he better not have gotten more time.
He did.
What?
He did.
He got more time than her who actually killed someone?
Yeah, he did.
And then, like, went and just was a brat and didn't care about the consequences and...
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
But I do want to say that Maddie's daughter, Macy, is doing really well. She lives with her dad and, you know, they do everything, it seems like, to help her remember her. She talks about her mom in heaven and stuff. And aww. And so it seems like she really is living the best life that she could possibly live without her mother. And it just breaks my heart, Maddie's family, like what they went through. And again, this is one of those cases, like we always talk about, that the victims get lost because there's so much bullshit around the perpetrators that, you know, you spend your whole time talking about fucking Kelly. And not Maddie.
Yeah.
And it's Maddie, M-A-T-T-I-E. So, like, if you do look up the Justice for Maddie or Maddie Conley, it's M-A-T-T-I-E.
Oh, good. Because I was doing, like, M-A-D-D-I.
Or M-A-D-D-I-E, yeah. So, like I said, there wasn't a ton on this story, but, like, just the sheer injustices of the chance after chance after chance after chance after chance that Kelly got was just out of this world. Like, I can't even imagine why she was not held responsible.
Ever?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, the very first time.
Yeah.
She should have gone back. And I get, the judge did. He did what he did what the laws forced him to do. Because he even said, like, I want to send you back the whole time, but it's making me give you a second chance. So, you get 90 days.
I understand. The dude's, what was Wyatt? Mm-hmm. Sorry, his name's hard for me to think of. So, like, hard to say.
Yeah.
And so, like, well, can't think of his name, but Wyatt. I understand him not getting the time. Like, I still think he covered up stuff. He deleted things. That's weird. You know what I mean? There's something else there. But I can understand. Okay, 7 years probation, all the things. But for Kelly?
Yeah.
Like, she should have never been given a deal where she wouldn't have had to serve jail time. Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
She purposely hit them. And again, maybe not to actually kill her, but she did threaten to kill her. Meanwhile, the dad threatened a judge and got more time than her.
And didn't follow through?
Yeah.
Well, they did. When they did show up to his house, he was sitting there with a gun, but... He wouldn't, I mean, like, this, that would be, like, the equivalent of him being, like, at the jail with a gun or whatever.
Yeah. Now, again, he should be punished for that.
Yes. Like, he did something wrong. Yeah. It doesn't matter why is what you did.
Yes.
But
for, like, he's doing this because his daughter didn't get justice. And, again, he shouldn't do it. But he's getting punished more than what... his daughter's killer guy.
Let's take Wyatt and Kelly. So he was just out riding with her and she came up and hit them in a way, we don't know how, but did something that caused Maddie's death, right?
How did Wyatt not explain what happened?
I don't know. But he covered up the evidence, all of that. It wasn't like... if you and I robbed a bank and I had the gun and you didn't, but I killed someone and you're guilty of the murder because you were with me robbing a bank. Like, we were doing something illegal together and someone died. Like, we should both be held responsible.
Yeah.
He wasn't. He was literally out riding a fucking four-wheeler with somebody and she came up doing all the things, you know, like, now if they were all out doing shit they shouldn't have been doing, whatever, and shit went down, that's another thing. But based on what we know, because we don't really know anything, but based on what we know, he doesn't necessarily deserve life in prison.
Right,
She does.
Yes. That's why I say I can understand his thing, like his plea deal, but hers, that should have never been on the table. Like, it should have been, you have to serve 7 years of jail time more so than you just have, like, you're out and don't do bad things.
Yeah, 7 years, we would all been like, she only got 7 years? But then to get 7 years, but you don't have to go to prison and then expunge. No, she got like the sweetest of all sweet deals. Sweeter than that damn cat's name. What was that cat's name?
Sweet Thing.
Sweet Thing. And like she couldn't even do that.
Right.
And literally just laughed in the face of Maddie's family, prosecutors, judges, her family, for God's sakes. Like literally everybody involved, because she was so selfish that she was like, because literally some of it was just fucking going to parties. Like,
yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I feel like that also shows her age and just maturity in general.
Yes, maturity more than like chronological age, because you can be that age and be mature.
Yes.
Like if you, just the other day going down the street, a fucking police officer blue lighted me because I was going 40 and a 30 and my heart almost fell out of my ass.
Girl.
And did I go 30 the rest of the way? I sure fucking did. Can you imagine having done this, but to literally have gone through all of this with having an attorney, having like anything, like my stomach hurts of anxiety just thinking about it, and to have such disregard for everything that you've been through, you've done, and what you've put other people through, to the very next day go get alcohol to go to a party and stuff is just beyond.
Right.
And you're not going to change. Like, if they're doing that, they are not going to change.
Right. You've given her like fucking 5 opportunities.
Yeah.
She literally went to jail for 2 years and she got out and she did the same thing. So it's like she's not being rehabilitated at all. Well, I hate this story.
Yes. But that's why I said too, like there's just the injustices, like it just, Maddie just needs some voices, I feel like.
Yeah.
And for her baby too, you know?
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, we don't know all the personal stuff and it could be icky. You know, she could have been on that four-wheeler, even though she had a boyfriend, he had a girlfriend, and it could have been icky. I don't think it was, but what do I know?
Then,
but even if it was, no one deserved to be hurt, period.
Right.
Much less killed over some fucking, what? Like,
petty shit.
Yes, and a 20-year-old with a 17-year-old, and like, she's 19 with a baby. Like, she didn't stop. That's disgusting.
Yes.
It's not that serious, her riding on the four-wheeler with him, that you would need to kill someone over it.
Right.
No person is worth that. Like, that boyfriend is not worth killing over, and you go potentially going to prison for the rest. I mean, she didn't, but going to prison for the rest of your fucking life. Well, y'all did us good with these recommendations.
Yeah.
Y'all keep them coming. Send them to us either in the Facebook group, like if you're in the Patreon Facebook group or just the regular Facebook group, there in the featured section, there's a recommendation post. You can post it on there. You can send it to us in email, you know, all kinds of ways. So keep the recommendations coming. Thank y'all so much for listening and supporting us. Don't forget to like, subscribe, review, all the things. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.